You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, back to school time. Could be scary time if your child is getting bullied. An expert shows you the way. And you'll learn how to become a gourmet chef using nothing but your waffle iron. Let's meet the friends. A big welcome to our new official friend, Erin Myers.
Hey, guys. Marijuana may be legal in Colorado, but it's definitely not bringing in the tax money they thought it was. I'll tell you why.
Standing up and saluting, it is Jay Campidoglio.
A mayor in Florida gets so ticked during a city meeting, he kicked a guy out. I'll tell you why.
And setting down his copy of Celebrity Nudes, here is Chris Martin.
A story of injustice, Phil. Nude photos of several high-profile female celebrities have been leaked on the web, and I haven't seen a one of them yet.
Injustice. It's a crime. Somebody has to pay. All right.
Is this the waffle guy that's coming on here?
The waffle. We have a book right there.
Is this the book?
Yeah, hold it up to the camera.
It looks delicious.
There it is.
Will it waffle?
Yeah. There are so many delightful and delicious recipes in there, and all you need is a waffle iron. He's coming on this hour.
Oh, my God. Look at... Oh, my. I got to put it away. I'm getting hungry. holy
gonna
wow.
He's going to start eating the book.
Daniel Shumsky is his name. By the way, the book is in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. So we'll get things started. Erin, it is your turn first. This is the tradition here. We start with the news lady, and you are she.
Alrighty.
So we are starting with what? Taxes?
On marijuana. Yes, we are. Colorado, they legalized, retail marijuana for everyone in 2012. But they said, they thought the state would pull in about $33.5 million in the first 6 months of 2014.
How'd they do?
Yeah, $12 million so far.
Oh, no.
$12 million, so not exactly what they predicted. And they're saying, here's why people are buying off the black market. Because, yeah, well.
Well, wait, it's legal.
like they used to.
Yes.
Right?
But it's because it's taxed more than 27%. So there's a reason for it. It's expensive, these taxes. Now, they said that people are avoiding the taxes, yes, by buying under the table. And that people with medical marijuana cards, they're actually selling it to people under the table as well.
Uh-huh.
And people can grow their own.
Six
plants.
Because that's legal as well.
Exactly.
27%. So let's see.
Yes.
If they knock that down to, 5 or 6 or 7%, they might get their $35 million in taxes.
Well, and there's a big difference, too, because medical marijuana, 2.9% taxes. So big difference on the,
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's 27 on the
recreational.
The recreational retail, yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
So go get your medical card. Is that what you're saying?
That's what people are doing, and Colorado won't tell us how many people have actually been trying to get their medical marijuana card.
Syntax.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah, right?
And all you have to do now is, you jump on the web, and you'll cam with a doctor and be like, oh, my back hurts a little bit. And he'll be like, I know what you need.
I don't know.
I don't know personally what it is. I'm just
uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
Not sure if we believe that one.
Yeah, a week or two ago, there was this tragic story about a little girl at a shooting range. It is tragic. The girl is alive. Her instructor is dead. You may recall this story. But there's an update. Erin, what is it?
Yeah, they're saying that the little girl, she actually and her family didn't realize that she hit the instructor at first. They said that she felt the gun was just too much for her, and they had all thought she was injured from the recoil. So the family members, they went up to her. They didn't realize that Charles Vaca, the instructor, had been shot in the head until another instructor ran out to help him. So they were worried about their little girl first, and
Of course.
And it was just a little bit too much for her.
You can't be mad at a parent for going and checking on their kid when she's got a fully automatic weapon in her hands.
Yes, exactly. Well, what was... Nobody's criticizing the parents for this, are they?
They have not said much about the parents in this, but I do know the family members of Vaca. They're saying his daughters are, their hearts go out to the little girl. They want to write a letter to the family.
Can you imagine? She's 9 years old. She killed a guy.
Yeah. It's going to be hard for her to deal with that no matter what. You know, that's hard to carry on.
Yes, well, rule number one, don't give your 9-year-old daughter a fully automatic weapon.
No.
Well, that's the question people are saying. That is legal in most places for kids to fire any type of weapon.
But those
so
get
what
away
should
from,
be allowed?
Even if you're a grown man or woman, for that matter, automatic weapons can get away from you once in a while, right?
Yeah. Have you seen a lot of the news AP photos that are going down there, and they're taking pictures of, like, you know, the front of the building and the front of the gun range, and they've got these giant posters out there. Hey, come shoot a 50 caliber with us. We've got the biggest, baddest guns in the state. It's like, you're a bunch of knuckleheads. You're a bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Idaho. What? And we need some listeners from over there, so if you're listening, tune in. But the one thing that they do out there, they'll let anybody carry a gun, but they make you go through a training course, and you have to be at least 12 years old before you're able to do it. 9 years old does seem a little young, and your body's probably a little weak and fragile to be handling something like that.
Do you think kids should have to go start easiest, you know, gun first, and then go
right,
from
like
there,
a 22?
Step up?
Oh, I was going to start.
I don't know, but
I was going to go squirt
water gun. Yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Slingshots, maybe. You know,
who administers this test? The DMV?
No, there's Hunter's Education. It's called.
Thank God.
Yeah, there's a program for it.
Yeah, I went through all the classes when I was a kid. I totally get it. That's the way you need to start. Yeah. This is what a gun is. This is what it can do. Now let's start.
Have some respect. Never point it at anybody.
Bingo, Phil.
Always
Bingo.
Make sure it's not loaded when you're cleaning it. All these things.
And I got an idea. Don't give your kids a fully automatic weapon.
I think I've heard that somewhere before. All right, but there are other concerns. If you're, I don't know, on a picnic in the Black Forest in Germany somewhere, and you have to worry about some things, don't you?
Yeah, you probably don't want to eat boar still in that area. Even, you know, 30 years later, three decades later, after the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, boars are still a pretty high radioactivity, high radiation. They say that 1 in 3 has too much. So it's been a big issue for people because that's a delicacy there.
You're worried about eating radioactive boar, and I'm thinking about, you know, walking through the forest and being attacked by some glowing pig.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They haven't said if they have superpowers. They may, but they, you know, they don't know how long this is going to last at this point. And
they have the power of trichinosis.
Yeah, 1 in 3 can actually shoot laser beams out of their eyes.
Wow.
And growing wings.
So
all
if
that
you
good
eat
stuff,
a radioactive pig,
yeah.
Do you get superpowers too?
You should try and tell us. Yes. I nominate you first.
Oh,
I'm in.
Start drawing the characters now, kids. Yeah, get those little tusks coming out of the side of the mouth, right?
Boar man? That's not bad.
Little hairy, flat nose with
They're
two holes.
They're ferocious characters.
Exactly. Razorbacks.
I'm sure it's upsetting families all over the area that they can't put wild boar on their table at night to feed their kids.
Well, maybe not here, but perhaps in Germany.
Yeah, it is a little sad for them because it is, you know, something that goes way back. Delicacy, as I said, you know, so we'll see how much longer it takes.
I was initially worried about Hansel and Gretel, but apparently they're okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, all is not well in Florida. If you want to come to a meeting for a certain mayor's meeting.
Now, if you stick around with the program for a while, you're going to find out real fast that I love Florida because some of the greatest stories in the world come out of Florida. Winter Garden, Florida, to be exact. So they're going to start this city commission meeting. And so what do? They stand up, they say a prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, one guy decided to sit for the prayer and then stay seated for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
The mayor stopped the Pledge of Allegiance. Says, whoa. You, sir, what are you doing? Well, I'm sitting. I'm exercising my rights. You got two options here, buddy. You can either go in the hallway or you can stand up. Guy refused.
He stayed in his seat.
Sat down on his butt during the Pledge of Allegiance just to exercise his rights.
What did the mayor exercise?
His authority. Had a cop go over there and yank him out of the room.
Yeah.
And said, look, I'm going to run my, and said the mayor said, quote, to the Orlando Sentinel, said, look, I am going to run my meetings the way I am going to run them. And everybody stands. You don't have to stand for the prayer. That's fine. That's cool. But you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right.
And I, for one, applaud that.
Does he have to recite it?
I don't hear your hands.
No. No. That's fine. Oh, sorry. I get excited. I'm Italian. I talk with my hands a lot.
Yeah.
So they kicked the guy out. The guy was allowed to come back in. There was nobody got arrested. Nobody got, you know, there was no fight with a cop. There was no altercation. Nobody screamed and yelled as they were getting pulled out of the
car. No blowback after the fact.
Exactly. No. I mean, who's going to go after that? Who's going to say, yeah, you know what? I want to exercise my right and I'm going to sit for the Pledge of Allegiance. If you don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance, there's plenty other countries out there, Phil. Plenty.
Do other countries have pledges to their flags?
Who cares?
I think so. I think they have songs and
I don't know.
Pledges.
Who
They all
cares?
Have their national songs. I do think that. I
yeah.
Pledges, that's something I need to look up.
You have to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Come on. People died for that right for you to sit down. So.
You died?
No, I said people died
for
that right. And you know what? It doesn't mean you have to exercise it. You know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just saying.
I remember in grade school there were certain religious factions that wouldn't recite the pledge, but they would stand up. And they just wouldn't put their hand
out
over the heart.
Out of common respect.
Right. Yeah.
That's all you need.
There you go. Thank you, Chris. Hey, you said something intelligent.
Once in a while.
Hey, while we're talking school, it is back to school time for kids. And for some, it's an awful time of year because this is when the teasing and the bullying ramps up. And it's so much worse these days with all the social media out there. What can parents do to help? An expert answers that question and a whole lot more next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron Myers is here. So are Jay Cappadonia and Chris Martin. And as kids go back to school, as most of them are, and if your kids aren't being taught anything at this very moment, then shame on you. What are you doing? We don't need a bunch of untaught, unlearned kids out there. Send them to school, please. But if they have trepidation, if they're so worried about going to school, perhaps something is bothering them, perhaps they're being bullied, which is not all that uncommon these days. But what do you do about this problem? Gabriella Von Ray is a nationally recognized anti-bully and human kindness activist. She speaks nationwide on the topic of cyberbullying, teen suicide signs, how to spot it, how to prevent it, and how to become an active witness. She joins us live now to talk about this. First, Gabriella, thank you. And would you please state the problem? How bad is it? Is it getting better? Or is it getting worse?
I really truly believe that it's getting worse, and not to be the bearer of bad news right there, but it's getting worse because I don't believe that any of us really know what to do about it. Because let's be truthful, everyone above 30 today, which is most of us.
Most of us are above 30. That's the majority of people in this country. But and Jay, you remember because you were a bully.
I was not.
You weren't?
Okay. You know what? I was bullied.
Really?
Yes, I was bullied very badly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Little in middle school and all that, I used to get my butt kicked all over town.
But we are all familiar with it. We all have either seen it, participated in it, were the receivers or the deliverers of bullying when we were little at one time or another, Gabriella. And you were saying that we just don't know how to deal with it.
We don't know how to deal with it. And I tell you why, because we have the technology that we're not used to. None of us grew up with the technology and the cyberbullying, which I have honed into a total new word, which is cyber torment.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that is totally apropos, because once somebody gets the string going and then it takes off and becomes viral and other kids pick up on it, it grows exponentially and you have no place to hide. You have no way to stop it.
You have no place to hide, but there's something else that is so intriguing that we forget, is that everyone sees it. So, for example, if you live in Washington, D.C., and you have a cousin in L.A., the cousin in L.A. will see your humiliation. So you cannot even go to a family reunion feeling that you're this tough little kid, right? Because the cousins already know. And that's the part that I think people really, really forget.
Well, where do you start to chip away at that process? I mean, let's start with parents. How do you get a handle on this?
You know, it's really terrible because she's right. There is a lot more technology. Everybody's got cell phones when they're 13 years old. Everybody's got Facebook and Twitter and everything. And if you see somebody piling on somebody else, you got to be one of the cool kids. So then you inherently pile on. And it's just a vicious, vicious circle.
And the anonymity. You know, when you know that the other person or other people out there don't really know who you are, you're just going by some username of some sort.
Right.
You know, these people feel empowered.
Oh, yeah. You hide behind it. Yeah. So you feel you can say anything.
So, Gabriella, where do parents start to get a handle on this?
The parents, first of all, they need to believe that the smartphone, and this is very strong what I'm going to say, the smartphone is a weapon in the wrong hands.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. most people don't agree with me, just so you know. And I'm saying this on purpose because it's a weapon when we don't know how to use it. Can you imagine that I'm a kid? And I'm 7 years old, and I have this beautiful smartphone, and I know more than my parents do on the technology. And here I go to school, and I'm not a happy camper today, and I am just going to pester someone to get a little bit of attention. And before I know it, what I did, I put up, an obnoxious video or an obnoxious photo, and I put a little bit of gossip, and before I know it, I got very powerful because suddenly everyone at school is noticing me and I'm really happy, you know? And so I got all this attention and now I don't know what to do with it. So I meet a lot of kids that don't really want to be a bully, but suddenly got all this attention through the technology and now they feel they have to continue.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that's difficult because it's so much easier to get attention these days. And you don't just see it with little kids. You see it with older adolescents, young adults, older adults. All of a sudden, men and women in their 30s have a world audience for something that they used to do in private. Now they could take selfies of it and suddenly they're a big deal. So
we are a terrible society.
Yeah. But
we are. And
there's no going back on any of that, is there?
I'm sure that on your shows, you must have talked about the death of Robin Williams.
Of course.
Even there, people judged faster than, you know, I when I heard the news, I just said, wow, that's so sad. I really liked him. And that was about my extent of my interest in that, because I step back and I think how terrible for the family, period. And that's where my interest stops. But this is where we've made these kids react to all this stuff just like we're reacting. And I think that social media is not the platform to teach our children or this generation that, hey, guys, this is a place where we can vent, we can do whatever we want because we have freedom of speech. And this is the part where I feel I come in with the kindness part.
Yeah.
Isn't it nicer to write on someone's Facebook, hey, I don't know you, but you must not be this bad. It can't be true, everything that they write about you.
So what you do then is you teach your child to be a diffuser.
Yes. And I say to that child, how nice is it when you write something like that on someone's Facebook for everyone to see you are not only an upstander, but the word that I use is become an active witness.
And you become a trendsetter in that case, and hopefully people follow it.
Well, geez, Phil.
Absolutely. But you
that's
know what?
Pass it forward.
It's hard to be kid who starts it, though.
Yeah, but you know what? I use Newton's cradle with the kids. You know, those little balls that go up and down with, I think there's five of them, those metallic balls?
Sure, yeah, back and forth.
Okay, so I tell them, one of them is the bully, right? That starts the momentum. But when you look at Newton's cradle and they go up and down, it's only the bystander that makes it happen. If you take one of them out and they share, I don't like this post, our campus is safe, then Newton's cradle has no more momentum. It stops right there. So I tell these children that every student has the power to stop social media from going viral by saying, hey, it's not okay.
You're taking this message to the White House, this Dare to Be Kind campaign. Tell us a little about that.
Well, because I think we're really not kind, all of us. So it is hard to live and to set that example. I notice sometimes too that I react. I mean, I'm a human being. I can react to someone that cuts me off on the road while I'm driving. And again, my slogan is so simple. It takes one moment, one person, one kindness to help any human being next to you go from a negative space to a positive place. And I said to myself, to make the difference, let's bring it to the White House. I have boots on the ground. I can show President Obama what these children are truly suffering from.
And you have not one, but now two books. You authored With All My Might and a new book coming out. I know it's available. It's in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's called I Can Fight My Might.
I can find my might.
I made that mistake when I typed it out, too. But it's I Can Find My Might. And okay. Just give us a thumbnail what the
Perfect.
Book is about.
I can't hear you anymore.
Okay, but the book is available in the store, and we'll leave it at that if we're having technical difficulties.
That
it's been kind of a rocky road, but just the same. Doesn't it make sense that you could diffuse this thing if you're the one person who has the guts to do it?
If you're the one person who's got the guts to do it. Like Aaron said earlier, it's tough to be that first kid, so you got to instill that really, really early. I mean, new parents now, they need to start
instill it early. In the victims, too, by the way, because if you don't let it affect you, it will not continue. Oh. You perpetuate the momentum by
reacting. That's hard, too,
reacting.
Though.
It is
Both
hard.
Are hard right
it is,
there.
It
takes
is difficult.
A tough kid.
It is difficult on any front. But parents, remind your kids to be respectful about life, right? Respect life. Everybody's life is as valuable as yours. So start with your life and go from there. We used to teach that. What happened? Well, we have stories like this. Naked photos of Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Upton, and other female celebrities. They're all over the web. They hit it this weekend. And everybody's freaking out. That's why our Chris Martin is here. And he has a new angle on that story coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for checking out Phil Hewlett and Friends. We officially count you as a friend. Yes, we do. I'm Phil Hewlett. Aaron Myers is here, and Jay Cappadonia, Chris Martin. That is the consistency. What am I saying? Those are the friends. Consistently.
The cool kids. Holy
smokes. Yeah, I know. Well, see, here's the problem. Every single person has face mites living on their face right now. I was reading this, and I kind of lost concentration.
What the hell are you talking about?
That's gross.
Face mites on your face right now. They're microscopic. They're currently swimming around in the oils in your pores. And some of them are even having sex on your face right
Why
now.
Why are we talking about this? This
because
is disgusting.
Had I not brought it up, you wouldn't know.
That's probably better, though.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I want, you know.
Things you'd rather not know?
Ignorance is bliss. That's a segment right there.
And things you can't unknow.
Yes, thanks a lot.
I like to think of it as one of those things that Mother Nature gives to us that we just don't need to know that much about.
Right, but it seems these days you know way too much about way too many people with folks snapping shots with their clothes off and sending them up to the cloud. And look, all of these celebrities all of a sudden, it's biting them in the butt. Literally.
Right,
because we know what those look like now, don't we, Chris?
Well, I don't, unfortunately.
I have a link.
But a massive amount.
I can't believe haven't seen them.
Over the weekend, it was revealed that a massive amount of celebrity nudes hit the web. And these include, but are not limited to, Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Upton, Selena Gomez, Hillary Duff, Kirsten Dunst, Leah Michele. Now, I'm going to have to look into and verify all of these to confirm this accusation, but that's just the beginning of the list. Apparently, someone hacked into the Apple iCloud and stole photos all these celebrities had taken on their phones and backed up online. A lot of them were even deleted, but these hackers are so good that they can go back to things that you've removed.
They can undelete.
The yeah, it's crazy. So now Apple's under a bunch of scrutiny, which I'm sure, you know, hopefully we can get Jeremy to explain that to us.
Jeremy, our tech guy. He'll be on Thursday to expand upon this. Anticooney. That's right.
So there was a bunch of photos.
He has a drone.
he does, yes, and he gets in trouble regularly for it. A bunch of the celebrities are upset. Kate Upton's attorney has posted that they plan to pursue anyone disseminating or duplicating these illegally obtained images to the fullest extent.
Well, so what's the rule? I mean, none of us are attorneys here, but I think if you post something on the cloud, do you cease to own it?
That's interesting. No, it's yours.
Yes, but the cloud is owned by somebody else. It's in this case, iCloud. That's Apple owns it. If you use the Google has a cloud, the Microsoft has a cloud.
Yeah, but what you're saying is stuff in my storage locker over there in the big storage bin.
Yeah.
That's my stuff. You can't have access to that, even though another company owns that storage facility.
Well, right,
doesn't mean they can get access to
it. Let's say you bring your padlock to the gym, and you leave your stuff in the locked locker, in the gym's locker room, and you leave the padlock on, and you go on a vacation.
But you're breaking the rules now. They've got rules.
Okay, there are rules that you agree to. Remember that 40-page thing that they say, all right, before you sign up for your iCloud account, read through the user agreement, and if you click OK, good. Now, somewhere in there, they say, if you go on a vacation, we're going to break the padlock on your locker and take your smelly socks.
No, they don't say that.
Have you read it?
No. Have you?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who reads those things? Yes, I accept. Yes. Just download it,
but
please.
That's not the bigger problem. The bigger problem is, do all these young ladies, and they're beautiful, more beautiful than the next every time you read a name, do they all belong to some kind of club? I mean, my mom was in a bridge club. These ladies are in a naked photo club.
No. Well, the hot chick club of Hollywood?
Yeah. Is that just what you do? You take pictures?
They're just in the generation, 2000s club, and there's all people of all that age range that mm-hmm. are doing that. Listen, we're all a little bit guilty of it, even maybe myself. I just never put anything like that on the club. Well, I'm not saying to the extent that maybe these ladies have done it.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Come on, buddy. Well,
no, what? Here.
Seeing those types of photos from people that I've been in a relationship
with. The very moment the idea enters my brain that, should I take a picture of this naked moment, I immediately, my entire life flashes before me, my children, from babyhood to me walking them down the aisle.
Yeah, but if you're a 25-year-old guy,
yeah,
single,
yeah,
no kids, uh-huh, footloose, fancy free.
Oh, yeah, I'm snapping away.
There you go.
Right. Exactly right.
Exactly. And it's so easy nowadays with cameras on both sides of your phone. You can get the angle you want.
Yeah.
But how many times does it have to happen for people to realize it's going to happen again? It's never safe.
Well, I have an excuse for these actresses.
Yeah.
They should stop complaining and just say, hey, I was just checking for ticks.
Right. Well, a lot of them.
A lot of them look like they were with a male company.
Lot of them are embracing it.
We were looking at them yesterday,
a
the GF and
inspector.
I. Oh, yeah. We're looking through, and I'm like, honey, I think I found the link. So I click on it, and the first thing out of whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, get that out of. No, I don't want that in my house. Turn the channel.
It's all an evil conspiracy to increase the ticket price at the box office for the next big movie.
You think?
Let me give you a couple more names here, mm-hmm, too. Here's a big surprise. Kim Kardashian.
No.
Hers were released. Rihanna. Mary-Kate Olsen.
Rihanna's naked on any given day walking to the
house
of the liquor store.
Right. Yeah. Hope Solo.
You know, it's not that good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Aubrey Plaza.
No.
Sounds sort of interesting. Kaylee Cuoco.
The
list goes on. Apparently,
again,
there's more out there.
Some of them weren't that great.
You can find it if you dig.
But some of them, you like click and you go, so that's what that looks like. Okay.
I'm not going to perpetuate
Next time
it.
I cover a red carpet, I will look at you in a different light.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Some of these ladies probably wish they could just hop on a boat and just sail away from all their problems, Aaron. Well, you want to turn that? There we go.
Oh, it's on. It's on. I'm getting used to this whole button pushing thing
you
here.
You TV ladies, you know?
I know.
Somebody else presses the buttons.
I'm just used to standing
stand
there looking pretty.
Yes,
what
that's
the hell?
What I do. So I have
and
to
we had
actually
to install a teleprompter. That was difficult.
So not true. I brought my own. so here we go. Yes, if you're trying to disappear, a couple can tell you how to do it. Bogdan and Elizabeth Makowski, they went on what was supposed to be a 1 to 2 day boating trip in the Gulf of Mexico. And then apparently everything started to go wrong. First, they said the motor broke. Mm-hmm. The motor broke. So they were kind of stuck off of Florida, but they decided to keep on sailing. And, mm-hmm, you know, they said they didn't really care because they're sailors. They've done this before. But that was just the start of everything that went wrong. I guess next they jammed their sail, which then became useless. And then there was good weather. So that meant they kept going farther and farther out without being able to apparently call for help. Not sure on why that one happened. Maybe that she was smart to have that prepared for in advance.
Nobody would have believed their distress call. What? Your name's Bogdan? Come on. That can't be real.
He's like, I'm a captain. Yes, it is. But they apparently spent a week stranded at sea with no food and little water because I guess if you're somebody that's at sea, you should realize that you don't drink it all in the first day. But they did. They ate and drank everything in the first day. But fortunately, they have good friends who they called the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard went and looked for them, and they found them this weekend, and they are okay. But it was quite an adventure for them.
Aside
off the coast
from the chew, aside from the chew marks on the fatty parts of the legs, they were fine, right?
They both lost a lot of weight. Good diet there.
Man, okay. Well, thanks for that. And we know that you like the cats, Aaron.
Yes, I'm a cat lady.
Yeah, cat lady.
Yeah.
We haven't added the crazy yet, but
run for the hills.
Oh, no, it's there. I just don't like to admit it.
Keep an eye on you. But, Jay, you've got a couple of crazy cat stories.
I do. I love the furry little critters. I do. They're fun to kick. I mean, this guy in Florida.
Feedback at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com.
We go back to Florida.
Of course.
My favorite state. Guy stole a bunch of cash from his buddy, right? Just went into his wallet, ripped about $1,000 out of it, and took off. So, guy calls the cops. So, now they're chasing this guy with $1,000, right? They're chasing him. What he does is he goes down this street, parks, goes into his house, hops the fence to his neighbor's backyard. Mm. Still with me?
Yeah.
And they found him in the house petting the neighbor's cats.
Petting it?
Just kicking it. Like, okay, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't resist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can.
In this case. You're being chased.
You're being chased by the police and the guy just like stops to...
Mm-hmm. It was a cute cat, I'm guessing.
Whatever. And another cat that fought back. Let's just say that. A British woman was hospitalized for 6 days after she tried to give her Persian cat a flea bath.
Oh. Cats don't like flea baths? Can you confirm that, Aaron?
I have given a cat one flea bath, and I've never given a cat a flea bath since then. You learn your lesson very quickly on that one.
The woman said that as soon as she hit the water, the cat just jumped right back into her arms and just started clawing at her. She had to have her kids physically pull each claw out of her shoulders, right? Boop, 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 boop. There was one claw mark down her elbow that was so deep it got infected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it basically she had blood poisoning. Yep. And then it just keeps getting better.
Cats
for this
their little cat poo on their nails there, on their claws. You got to worry about that.
Then it gets better because after 3 days of feeding her penicillin, found out that she was allergic to penicillin.
Oh, no. Yeah. So is she dead yet?
She is not dead. She is recovering. And the cat still in the house.
Of course.
No.
It's a beloved pet.
Bye-bye.
You think you'd find out you're allergic to penicillin a long time before this incident?
Yeah, right? Well, unless you get into,
Right. Trouble. I mean, these days, who even says penicillin anymore? It's erythromycin or it's a Z-Pack or something like that, right?
They're in the UK. I don't know. Maybe they're...
Oh, sure.
They're still catching up.
Yeah, they've got that fancy healthcare out there. Yeah.
What do you think veterinarians do to... like subdue these cats before they give them a flea bath? You think they knock them out?
A right hook to the jaw?
Right.
No.
Choke them out?
I think they just put them down.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Your cat's not going to have fleas anymore.
Aaron is befuddled.
I'm trying to think about that one, actually. I don't know what they do. They might, I know when they clip their claws, they'll wrap them in a towel and bring one claw out at a time.
Right.
But a flea bath, they probably, like with dogs, they...
Strap them up,
yeah, I would guess.
How do you strap a cat? I mean,
good
cats
luck.
Are not cooperative.
Yeah. Good
strap
luck.
A cat and grab a fire hose.
Hey, you ever eat a nice potato gnocchi?
A what?
Potato gnocchi.
Yes.
What the hell's
you're
gnocchi?
Italian. You've never had gnocchi?
They're delicious.
Why am I blanking?
How about some crab cakes?
That's good.
Or some sweet and sour shrimp wontons. What if I told you could make these and other delectable dishes and you don't even need to fire up your stove? How is that possible, you ask? Well, the author of Will It Waffle joins us next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for joining us here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. There's a store. There's ways to listen. You could listen live. You could listen on demand. We're on every possible podcast player out there, from everything that Apple makes to Stitcher. Right? You use Stitcher? You should use Stitcher. I like that one. But the Apple Podcast app, that little purple app that you could download, they're all there, and we're on all of them. I think there's like 70 of them.
Yeah, I saw the list. It was crazy. It was impressive.
It's a crazy list, and we're on every single one? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I survived that, logging us all into there. But you know what? If you just eat whatever you want, you know, if you're like me and you just want to eat whatever you want, you gotta cook it somehow. And I don't know how to operate. I don't know my way around a stove, you know? Like how hot to make that flame and things in the oven and all that stuff. You know how I make bacon? I get a pan and I stick the entire thing of bacon in the pan and I just kind of let it go till they separate.
Attaboy.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the way to do it? And is that the way? Everybody?
Easiest.
Everybody on board?
Just don't forget to cook it until they're crispy.
Apparently there's a better way to do that and a better way to cook all sorts of things with something maybe you hadn't considered using to cook all sorts of things. Joining us live is... he's a journalist, has written for the Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, among others. He's the author of the book, Will It Waffle? I am holding it in my hand, 53 Irresistible and Unexpected Recipes to Make in a Waffle Iron. Daniel Shumsky, thank you very much, sir. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
And your book, by the way, is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, and it is wonderful. I'm flipping through it, seeing all sorts of things.
It is wonderful.
Yeah. Yes. I know, it really is.
It really is.
I can't even begin to say how wonderful it is.
It's scrumptious looking. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. We need to talk about bacon. I think we need to talk about bacon.
Yeah, let's start there.
Okay, so, I mean, the book is called Will It Waffle? And the idea is that the waffle iron is for way more than just waffles, right? So one of the things I discovered is that it's for way more than just breakfast. But hearing what you said about bacon, I think... we need to talk about the fact that you can make bacon in the waffle iron and it takes about 2 minutes.
Okay. Is it a greasy mess like the way I do it?
Well, here's the thing. No, because you've got the two-sided heat of the waffle iron. The grease is not spraying all over the place. And then when you're done, there is a little bit of grease left in the waffle iron. But what you can do is make waffles and you get waffles that are sort of infused with a little bit of bacon.
Oh, now that's evil.
Yeah.
That is a heart attack.
In a good way.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of things. Yeah, it's a lot of things. It's good, though.
Well, that's awesome. Well, so, all right. So all these tasty recipes, and you say in some cases food can even taste better. How is that possible?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the first thing to consider is that we certainly eat with our eyes first, right? So when something looks cool, it kind of sets the expectations and it's going to taste a little bit better. But I think the other way to think about it is when you have something like waffled falafel and you have...
it just sounds great.
Have something, I know, first of all, it
that's like
amazing,
a food truck
right?
idea if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, absolutely. But you also, what you have is you've got this grid pattern. You've got these nooks and crannies. And if you want to spread some hummus on there, let's say, it just sinks into that little those nooks and those crannies and those valleys. And it's like this, you know, sauce delivery vehicle. It's perfect.
Oh, it is great. That is beautiful. And so when I think of a waffle iron, I think of, okay, the waffles are delicious, but then there's all that scraping and cleaning because all of the waffle batter gets over the sides and it gets outside on the smooth part of the waffle iron and it's just a cleaning mess. And I just stick the whole thing in while it's still plugged in into the sink, which I know you're not supposed to do, but how else you got to clean that cord too. But, putting all kinds of other foods in there, doesn't it turn into just a serious mess?
It doesn't really. I mean, here's the thing. If you are careful to spray it down with some non-stick spray beforehand, you know, a little prevention goes a long way. And then, you know, like I mentioned with the bacon, I mean, sure, if there's some extra bacon grease in there, then you were just, you know, you're forced to make waffles and eat the resulting waffles. But no, it's not really a problem.
Okay, here's what I want to do. Let's go through the day.
Yeah.
We're going to feed ourselves from morning to sleep time. Pick a breakfast for us, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm going to start the morning with, oh man, this is tough, but let's start with some waffled bacon and eggs joined with some waffled hash browns.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, the hash browns. Yeah, so that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
It is honestly the perfect tool for hash browns, because what you get is you get the two-sided crispiness without having to flip anything, right? And then the inside stays nice and silky and smooth. I mean, it's like the waffle iron was made for making hash browns.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. Now that's our breakfast. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah. So for lunch, let's have a waffled quesadilla. And we can use, you know, again, that two-sided heat is super useful because it kind of compacts everything and cooks on both sides, melts the cheese inside. And inside the waffle quesadilla, we can throw the leftovers from last night, whether it's, you know, chicken or vegetables, whatever's hanging out in the fridge.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's all ready to go in 2 or 3 minutes.
Bacon. You got to have leftover bacon.
Yeah, exactly. If you somehow ended up with leftover bacon, if that's possible. Yeah, right.
Sure. All right. How about your favorite dinner recipe?
You know, I do love the waffled falafel, but let's also sort of expand it a little bit and talk about making a steak in the waffle iron. So there's a recipe in the book for waffled filet mignon.
Oh, waffled filet mignon. Okay, you got to walk us through that.
Yeah.
Why not, right? Yeah, I'll take you through it. So, I mean, you get the nice crispy crust on the outside, right? You get a nice sear from that two-sided heat, and then you end up with a little bit of pink in the center. And again, you eat with your eyes first, and it looks kind of fun. You know? It's great.
Yeah, you got all that little waffle design on there. Okay, so do you stick your dessert in the waffle iron as well?
Would you believe the answer is yes?
No, but knowing what I've found out about you so far, I guess yes. Go ahead.
You guys have looked at the book, you know. Yeah. So there's a bunch of dessert recipes in the book, and one of my favorites is probably the waffled s'mores, which is, of course, called a s'moreful.
S'moreful.
And the beauty of the s'moreful is, again, you get that melty, gooey chocolate and marshmallow inside, mm-hmm. and on either side, you've got this waffled graham cracker, and it is honest, it's a thing of beauty.
All right. I gotta know, how fat a guy are you?
I am a perfectly reasonable weight. Although, you know, I mean, it was hard. It was a challenge to test all the recipes. I mean, it's not like digging ditches or anything, so I don't want to make too much of it. But, like, it was a lot of eating.
Yeah, but, I mean, how did you come up with it? Because, like, I think of, like, a guy who got divorced and he only got the waffle iron out of the marriage. And it's like, well, I got nothing else in my one-bedroom apartment, so I got to start coming up with recipes.
Waffle iron and a bunch of canned foods.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, let's see if this waffles up.
That's bleak. No, you know, I was sort of half asleep, and so this is one of these kinds of things that probably couldn't have come to me when I was fully conscious, but I was just lying there thinking, like, you know, I love my waffle iron, but I don't love that it sits there unused a lot of the time, and so, you know, I just started asking myself the question, will it waffle?
And that's the name of the book, and yes, it will in almost every case, and it's available in the store at Phil Hewlett & Friends. Your website is waffleizer.com or willitwaffle.com. Daniel Shumsky, it is a delightful and delicious pleasure to speak with you, sir.
It was great to be here. Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. How about that, huh?
Guy's on to something for sure.
He
I'm
is.
I'm hungry.
Get the book. I'm holding it right here. All right, that's the end of hour two. We have so much more ahead in our second hour, including wait till you hear about this daring jailbreak. 32 teenagers working together to get out of a high-security facility. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Welcome to Hour 2 of Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about stories you care about. You hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. And this hour, among other things, what's going on with airline passengers going postal? Whatever happened to the friendly skies, huh? Our travel guy joins us live. The friends are here. Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. We're so glad you tuned in today. Let's get this second hour started. Aaron, with you, it's It's always interesting to hear about these high security facilities where the bad guys are housed and how frequently one or two guys escape.
Yes, one or two usually is what you hear.
Right?
Yeah.
But what happened this time?
Well, this time I'm going to call it the Great Escape because 32 teenagers. That's what happened. 32 teenagers from Nashville Detention Center, they actually planned a breakout together. And I guess it coincided with a guard shift change yesterday at 11 p.m. So we do know. Yeah. So smart kids, 14 to 17 years old is what we're hearing. Now, we're told they all went into a common area. They overpowered at least 18 staff members. Then they kicked out a metal panel under a window, got into the yard, and then lifted a fence to get out. Now, we do know that this fence was actually 8 inches deep into the ground. So they worked together, found a spot that was a little bit weak, pulled it up, and then climbed under. So smart kids, actually. Now, I do know, though, that, you know, they've been there for a few different things like burglary, theft, a history of running away, violent crimes, and drug-related crimes, but fortunately none for homicide. And they did say most have been caught. They are confident they will find the rest of them. But I will say they have learned a lesson so far already in their detention, which is teamwork, apparently.
Yeah.
So,
That's what they've learned.
Sounds like
from
something
their detention.
Out of a movie.
It does. They could make this into a movie, probably.
That's
if
awesome.
You want to.
Well, there was a movie called Billy Jack back in the day. Remember that?
No.
Yeah, Billy Jack is a Native American guy, but he could kick butt. But people used to tease him for being Native American. You know, he'd come into the truck stops and he'd get, you know, hassled, and he'd show him what for. we may be breeding the return of Billy Jack one of these days, because there's a kid, a 5-year-old kid, Aaron, who's you know, institutionally being discriminated against.
Well, he was, yes, a 5-year-old boy in Seminole, Texas. You know, he is actually back to school today after being sent home on his first day of school. And it's not because he did anything wrong. He didn't get in trouble. It's because he has long hair, which we know, I guess, the school is against their policy. Now, they said boys aren't supposed to have hair longer than the collar of their shirt. But this little boy named Malachi Wilson, he's a member of the Navajo Nation, where the tradition of keeping long hair is very, very important. They said that, you know, cutting hair is actually a manifestation of a loss of a loved one, or loss of a relationship, or loss of actually a part of yourself. So a very important thing for this little boy and his family. Now, we do know his mom, April, she showed the school proof that her son is half Native American and part of the Navajo Nation. So the FJ Young Elementary School said that he could return to school.
Yep.
But here's the irony of all this. I guess the school's mascot is Seminole, and he clearly has long hair.
Oh, irony right there.
So a little bit, you know, one of those situations where you go, huh.
Yeah. Well, the school, you can almost hear the brakes and the wheels skidding, right, when they heard the Seminole kid. Okay, fine.
Yeah, didn't last very long.
No.
Yeah, but you got to abide by the school's rules. That's the deal. If you don't want to cut your hair, there's plenty of schools that will allow you to have hair down your butt. Go to that school.
Yeah, but in society, there are other things where you get a pass. Like, let's say you're Sikh or something like that. You can wear a beard or something on your head when you go on an airplane, and people don't force you to take the special religious dress off of your head. Right?
Yeah. And who should be telling us how long we can cut our hair? Anyway.
It is a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah,
I
Chris,
think.
Fight the man.
I don't agree with it.
Well, I don't know. Here's the thing. At some point in when we went to school, back in my day, the adults were in charge.
Bingo.
Yeah. At some point, I don't know when it happened, in the 60s, 70s, maybe the 80s, the kind of the kids took over. Let's run this past the kids first to make sure it's going to fly. It's pretty much where we are these days, right?
And it's ridiculous.
Well, even if the adults were in charge when you were in school, Phil, obviously no one told you to cut your hair, because I saw the picture.
Oh, yeah, true. That's true. Yeah, well, that was later. That was later in life. But early, you know, elementary school, I had this one teacher, Mr. Mann. He used to wear a suit. Same suit back in the day. You know, guys only had one suit, I guess. Serious, you know, pee stains after a while.
Oh, come on.
It's not pleasant.
No, but, the kids, we're only so tall. You notice these things quicker than other people do. Anyway, and the smell in a crowded elevator is completely different as well. But just the same, Mr. Mann, he used to line everybody up. I'll give you a couple of beats on that joke. He used to line everybody up, and we'd have to stand at attention until he said at ease. And then we would march from the playground back into the second floor classroom. We'd march. We'd stand at our desk at attention until he said at ease, and please be seated.
See?
Yeah.
It's the way it needs to be.
Kids are different now. I have to say, my nephew, he's 5 or will be 5 in this next week, and mm-hmm. he's been kicked out of 2 preschools and Sunday school. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens
it's a
nowadays.
Rebel child. Yes. Now, Mr. Mann was my 5th grade teacher. My 6th grade teacher, I've forgotten his name, but he used to wear, like, Beatles clothing. He was a total hippie. He had the Sgt. Pepper stripes, the whole thing going on.
The beatnik.
Long blonde hair, the whole deal, and he used to say things like groovy and, you know.
It's got to be confusing to all the children.
Yeah, it was.
One's a military officer. The other one's a hippie.
Completely messed me up.
Teaching you life right there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I want to go back to school, but sometimes people do.
Yes, they do. They do, actually. A 60-year-old man, he actually went back to school and to college in 2010, but he was profiled today in the Globe and the Mail newspaper, and they said he went back to study the cancer that killed his wife in 2009. Huh. So Powell Crosley, he lost his wife to this rare form of ovarian cancer known as granulosa cell tumor, which, we, you know, very, very rare, about 5% of ovarian cancers. And we know he spent his career working in information technology and decided, you know, after she died, he wanted to do something different to follow her legacy. So he is actually one of the oldest undergraduate students at the University of Alberta, where he does coursework in biochemistry and oncology, and he's helped get a $60,000 grant to continue his research in one of the school's labs. And we do know he's using that money to fund testing on a new cancer drug, which has shown potential for treating the cancer that killed his wife.
Hmm.
So he's trying to follow in her footsteps, and he now runs her foundation, which is the Granulosa Cell Tumor Research Foundation. And he said that her motto was, "The answer lies in the lab," so that's what he's been doing since then.
How about
then.
That? All right.
Good for him.
Yeah, that is great for him.
Story of love right there.
It sure is.
Plus continuing education, you know.
It also tells you you can go back to school anytime
right.
you want.
Yeah, and you can still learn.
You said undergrad?
Undergrad.
So yep. He's got a good 10 years, 12 years ahead of him?
It looks like right. it. He keeps going, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Nowadays, yes.
He gets all the way to that medical degree? Right. Well, you know what? He's out there, and guys, you're out there, and there's a place where you're needed. There's a call to action, Jay.
There is, Phil. Southeastern Brazil. I'm going to paint a little picture for you because this might be the most sought after place after this story gets out. Okay. It's a little tiny town. And it's only made up of 600 people because right now all of the men in the town are out working in other parts of Brazil. So the 600 people are actually 600 women. That's it.
That's it?
That's it. 600 women. No men.
Cat fight.
Every single man that is in town is sent off to work. When you turn 18, you are sent off to work, and you go for months and months and months at a time.
And the women are lonely.
So what's happening is these women, they're lonely, and they have no one to, quote unquote, court them.
No.
I'm sure they mean other things. But anyways,
yes.
So right now, the women are gathering together, trying to get the media's attention and say, hey, we are looking for love. We have no one here to love us.
What's the name of this town?
I couldn't pronounce it to save my life.
Well, what's the point of the story?
That one.
Wow.
It's in southeastern Brazil.
I know your evil plan. You don't want to say the name because you want to be first in line.
I do not want to be first in line. I am happily in a relationship, thank you.
Is this one of those towns like up in Chichen Itza where all the ladies wear those funny hats?
No.
No. No, it's a town in Brazil where they all wear Brazilian cut bikinis, Phil.
Oh. This is what I'm saying.
Oh, it is. Is
this
it really?
This might be a popular destination.
It's not like a mountain village where, you know.
I'm going with that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably is.
If they were all in bikinis, the men would have never left in the first place.
They have to go work. That's the point. They're sent off to go work.
Yes.
But nobody's around to love them.
Oh.
Court.
Court them?
Yeah.
Nobody's sent off to. Hello, baby.
That's French.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know what a Brazilian accent sounds
they
like.
They need to get a website up, get some pictures going.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
Oh, they've got a Facebook page.
Wait a minute.
Check
I'm
it
just
out.
Reading this.
Tap wait that up. Link.
What's the, can you pronounce the Facebook link?
No.
Oh, all right.
Facebook.com/ that's about as far as I can go.
Yeah, all right.
It's all in Spanish and whatever else they speak.
Well, it's the internet. You could just Portuguese. Use the Google thing. And
is it Portuguese?
I believe so.
Yes, they speak Portuguese in Brazil.
I don't know. What'd you learn that from? One of your cats?
They're smart. They take after their mama.
Look at that. One day.
Good one.
One day, Aaron. He's already at
good her. One. Oh, you got to, you know, it's the first day. You got to give her a little freshman ribbing, right?
Yeah. Got to be one of the boys.
I put it out there with that many cats, though, so.
Right.
I know. Good job, rookie.
A lot of action on the show already. And you know what? What do you like? The romantic comedies? You like the fantasy movies? You like the action movies? What do you think, Chris?
I like all kinds of movies, but there is a study out. We like to talk about these studies. There's one that's published in the Journal of American Medical Association.
Yeah.
And they found that people eat more food when they watch action movies over more intellectual movies where there's more dialogue or maybe even documentaries or interview pieces.
Yeah.
They did the research. They took a bunch of people. I'll break it down real simply. They showed them 20 minutes of three different types of films. One was an action movie, full-blown sound, everything. One was an action movie with no sound. And one was a Charlie Rose interview.
That's really good.
So how's that for a selection?
Exciting.
That's funny. Right.
Oh, man.
In the action movie that was full of sound, they ate 206 more grams of food than they did with the action movie with no sound.
Okay.
And that was significantly more than the Charlie Rose interview.
A cerebral thing. So they're actually concentrating on what's being said.
Right.
Falling asleep? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. They're saying that the action movies are sort of mind-numbing, and then you sort of just go into this comatose state where you're eating whatever is in front of you. Now, granted, these people walked through the door, and all they handed them was boxes of candy, cookies, popcorn, all the things. They also gave them grapes and carrots to see what they'd choose. And some of the healthier conscious people chose the healthier foods. But for the most part, they all dug into the candies.
How about the healthier unconscious people? They didn't survey them. But you know what? I'm watching a movie, an action movie at home with my wife. You know, and she might say, maybe her hand hurts or her leg hurts or something like that. Can you rub my leg? Okay, fine. I'll do that. We're watching the movie together. And, you know, if it's an action movie, she is more likely, this is my own scientific survey, she is more likely during an action movie to say, ouch, so hard, than if we were watching something more cerebral.
They're exciting.
Yeah.
I saw Expendables, whatever it is, 10,000 this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the greatest films I've seen. I went through a whole large bag of popcorn myself.
Damage.
I'm telling you, it was worth it.
Putting on the weight. Hey, here's a tidbit for you. The wider a woman's hips are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't like where this is going
already. No, me neither. Now that I've said it out loud, I think I'm already in trouble for going there.
More cushion for the pushing?
The more likely she is to have one-night stands and just more likely to have sex more with more people overall.
Okay, good to know.
Mm. Yeah, isn't that something?
All right.
This is according to a website called OZY. Which sounds like it's pronounced Ozy, but I don't know.
Ozy.
Ozy?
Because when you see a chick with a wide hip, you just go, Ozy.
Not me. I like that.
Do you?
Get it, buddy. Hey, you know where they got a lot of wide hips? Brazil?
Yeah, and there's that new song that all the 12 and 10 and 8-year-old and 5-year-old kids are singing over and over again because it gets played on the radio over and over again. That new Anaconda song, you know the one I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh,
right. Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
Nicki Minaj. You know, my 2.5-year-old niece was singing that the other day.
No, see, that's inappropriate.
Yeah, but you hear it on the radio over and over again, right?
Who's driving the car?
Yeah, that's a good question. Not me.
Just saying.
Yeah. But it's unavoidable.
But it is avoidable.
But look, who's that Katy Perry lady, right? She sings all the songs, and they're all blatantly about sex and drinking too much. And
who's driving the car, Phil?
How do you avoid turning on the radio and hearing Nicki Minaj or Katy Perry?
You have everything in the palm of your hand on your cell phone. You can call up anything you want, and not one of them has to be Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, all of those young...
Do you have any idea what a good Mozart operetta was about?
Nope.
It's about sex and drinking.
No, it's not.
Heck yeah.
There's not a word in it. How do you know?
It's in German or Austrian.
What?
But just the same.
No.
You go back and translate it.
I'm sure Mozart started playing the instruments to get it, but I don't think it's about it.
No.
It's the only thing I play on romantic evenings. It's either Mozart or Beethoven.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Light a few
little
candles.
Little candlelight.
Turn on the TV.
Spread the flowers around.
Watching cops drinking a bottle of wine.
Well, hopefully they're not listening to Bieber, but we do have an update that will make you smile and then spit blood. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave
headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thank you for doing that. Make a habit out of it. We're available online on demand, and you can listen to us live. There's a link on the How to Listen page at philhewlettandfriends.com. We have a Twitter account. It is Faf Show.
What?
Faf Show. P-H-A-F. Like Phil Hewlett and Friends Show.
Oh.
Right? That's our Twitter account. And we're on Facebook. Go over there. Love us, like us, join us, follow us. Do all the things that you do on social media. Just be kind.
Yeah, like cyberbullying.
Just not this kind, though. The Bieber. He's just a problem child, and we're waiting for him to die, more or less. I mean, sooner...
Oh, boy.
Aaron, tell us how you really feel.
We're not, that's a rough one right there.
We're not rooting for him to die. We're waiting for him to die because he's constantly in trouble.
He is constantly in trouble, and it's happened again, this time on a Friday afternoon, actually near his hometown of Stratford. We're told by Canadian police that he is charged with dangerous driving and assault after a collision between a minivan and an ATV, and then that, I guess, led into a little bit of a physical altercation. They did let him go and released him, but they said he has to go to court on September 29th. And, you know, this is just another one on a long list. You know, we have the Miami incident with driving. We have the egg throwing case. We've got all sorts of stuff with him. So I guess it's like, is he our favorite pop star or our favorite troublemaker now? I'm not really sure at this point.
Right.
Train wreck. He was like Lindsay Lohan a few years ago.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody waited.
She was never doing anything violent or dangerous necessarily. She was a threat to her own health.
Safety. Yeah.
And her own safety. But she wasn't endangering other people like this clown is.
That's true.
Yes. Well, I think I heard that Chris Brown is back in jail for some reason too. So these two cut from the same cloth.
He felt that Bieber was one up. Him? Is that it?
Yeah, these guys are in a competition to see who could be the biggest jackass.
Yeah, well.
It's going to keep on going.
Hee-haw. All right. There's word that perhaps the smartest and most disgusting marketing plan has ever come about, and it's happening at where?
It is happening at Arby's, Phil.
And what are they serving up?
It is the greatest thing on the face of this planet when it comes to fast food.
Okay.
Because you guys know that I am the fast food connoisseur around this plate. You have to order off their secret menu.
Secret menu.
Secret menu. And it is called the Meat Mountain. Okay, now picture this on a bun. I'm going to tell you what it is, then I want to see what you guys think it is.
Yeah.
As far as calorie count goes. Two chicken tenders, an ounce and a half of roast turkey, an ounce and a half of ham, one slice of Swiss cheese, an ounce and a half of corned beef, an ounce and a half of brisket, an ounce and a half of Angus steak, one slice of cheddar cheese, an ounce and a half of roast beef, and three half strips of bacon flour roll.
What's that cost?
$10.
Well, that seems reasonable.
It's fast food, and it's Arby's, and it's great. Now,
You don't get any of that rainbow meat in there, do you?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to say 200 calories per ounce and a half, and I think you named 10 ounce and a halves, so that's what, 250,000 calories? Yeah. My mouth
good
is correct.
Anybody got a legitimate guess?
I'm going with like 3,000.
Ooh, you're so close. It's actually 1,200.
Really?
Calories from fat, 430. Total grams of fat?
Yeah.
48.
But what's the total calories? 1,200?
1,200.
That seems low, actually.
Because it's just meat.
Oh, and there's no... Well, what happens when you add the horsey sauce?
Yeah, see, that's your own fault. And there's only one piece of cheese on it.
Come on.
That's it.
I'm throwing...
No, two. You said
two you're right. Two.
That sounds like a 4 or 5 packet horsey sauce, doesn't it?
There you go.
That's going to add in the calories right there.
Can I have a picture of that horsey sauce, please? Yeah.
How tall does it stack? Can you open your mouth that
there
wide?
There are photos all over the place. If you just hashtag Arby's right now on Twitter, everybody is ordering this thing, and they're taking pictures at work today, and it is a marketing plan that has gone off the rails. It is awesome. Awesome.
By the way, you're 104 times, this seems appropriate, 104 times more likely to choke to death than to die from being struck by lightning.
What?
After eating that, yes.
Eating the meat mountain?
No, this is, and that's math according to The Economist. Yeah, so be careful. Chew your food carefully and chew your meat mountain carefully.
I got to try that.
Is that something?
I don't care what the GF says. Oh, you got to eat healthy, you got to lose weight.
Yeah. I don't get people these days. You're on a nice flight. You're heading out to Hawaii or some other vacation location. You sit down. You know the plane is not going to be the most comfortable thing if you're not flying first class, right? You know. You're in coach. You're cheap. That's how much you spent on your ticket. You didn't want to fork over the extra $6,000 to fly in luxury. So, what do? You don't like your seat. You lash out at the flight crew and you lash out at the fellow passengers.
Why not?
This is happening more and more often, and I don't understand it. What has gotten into people? We're going to talk with our travel dude, who we haven't yet been able to figure out what's gotten into him. But we will attempt to do that, and to find out about these crazy passengers, next on Phil Hewlett and Friends! Here we go, another segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Glad you tuned in. I'm Phil. Aaron, Jay, and Chris are here as well. They're the friends. And we keep hearing these stories, Chris, about people just going bat wampus on airline flights. And why don't you start off this segment with your story?
Well, this is the latest in this trend of people going irate on plane flights. This one was from LaGuardia in New York. They're heading to West Palm Beach, and this lady was leaning her head down on the tray table that's in front of her, which comes from the flip down on the seat back in front of her.
Yeah.
And the person that was sitting in that seat reclined their chair abruptly and slammed her head into the back of the chair, that plastic piece that holds the tray table.
Oh, is there video of this?
I don't see any links to any video, but she was not pleased about it. She got in an argument, this lady. Yeah. She became irate. And so then the staff came over. They tried to calm her down, and she reportedly told the flight attendant to each excrement and die.
Whoa.
And then
you almost tripped over that story.
Well, I was reading quickly. I had to slow down there for a second. And also reportedly had told the captain when they said, listen, you just need to calm down so we can complete this flight. She said, I don't care what you need to do. Land this plane. I want off now.
Wow.
So they took the plane to Jacksonville, diverted to Jacksonville, and let her off the plane.
Yeah, well, wow. It's all about me. Our travel dude is here, Gary Warner, and he considers, he's empathetic. He considers the needs and wants of every other individual.
Of the flying public.
Never thinks about himself, always thinking of the flying public first. And Gary, thank you very much for being here. So this,
it's great to be here.
This is just one story. We have so many stories like this where people, I mean, in this case, sure, she should have been upset about getting, you know, the tray table to the neck, but the behavior after that, I don't understand it, and it seems to be happening more and more often. Is this becoming the rule now on airlines?
Well, I think everybody's got sharp elbows these days who are flying, and people are getting fed up with what they perceive as the airlines hitting them with a lot of fees, planes that are more crowded because the airlines have better computer systems that you know do away with that empty middle seat that you used to get on some flights. And I just think it's a manner of a loss of air manners across the board.
So it's a combination of things. Then by the time we get to our seat, our nerves are already a little frayed.
Right. There's been a sharp spike in the number of these incidents since 9/11. So it's basically a lot of it is tied to the tighter security, all the things people have to go through. They finally get on the plane and then have some sort of altercation. And rather than it being the first problem of the day, it's the fifth and off.
Now, is it also possible that the a larger percentage of the flying public versus the rest of the public is just jerky?
Are you saying something about me, Phil?
You know, well, you know,
I fly a lot more than
as compared to the general public. Are we looking at ratios here? Are you more or less likely to go off on an airline than you are if you were to travel on, I don't know, on a bus?
Well, I think you get a lot of, you know, say business people who expect a certain level of, you know, people to treat them in a certain way. And so if they don't get treated in that way, they
flight
they
snobs. You can call them flight right snobs. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, flight snobs. There's also the old lubricant that is served quite often.
They still serve flights. Those, right? In those
yes,
little
yes,
those tiny
do.
Bottles.
Those yeah. little, tiny little bottles, and they'll pour it in. They'll charge you five or $6.
Hey,
I've
got to
ask
you a question about those tiny bottles. Can you yep. order like 5 or 6 of them and put them in your pocket? And
no,
just,
no.
And open one at a time?
No. They're the stewardesses are excuse me, the flight attendants.
Come on.
Are expected. Yeah, boy, I'm showing my age there. The flight attendants are expected to sort of keep people from getting drunk. I think it's sort of like a bottle an hour sort of thing. You can usually get a double on takeoff on
but
most
they
flights.
Have to open it for you. Is that the thing? You can't take a closed one and stick it in your pocket.
I don't know that. I guess maybe I'm just not hammering it hard enough on these flights.
If you fly into, I believe it's Portland, they have a Rogue brewery, and you can buy a bottle of Rogue, but you cannot open it on the plane.
Really?
Yeah, you cannot do that. You can't bring your own.
See, Gary, we might have been able to help you with that last question if I said the words coffee, tea, or me. Does that take you back to where you were thinking when you said stewardess? Oh, we lost him. Oh, all right.
Wait, I think I get it.
Do you?
Is that so you can join the Mile High Club?
No, there was a period of time. There was here in Southern California, there was an airline called PSA. And they used to promote, at the time, they were called stewardesses, but they used to promote their flight attendants as just sexy babes. And their slogan was, "Fly me."
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, them and AirCal.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
AirCal and PSA, right, Gary?
Yeah. Well, I saved up my money when I was about 15 years old to take a flight up to San Francisco on PSA, and those flight attendants are etched in my memory.
The go-go boots. The go-go boots and the short skirts and the funny hat.
And ashtrays in the armrest, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and this goes with another thing that sort of spins into this, is that the airlines have a tendency to short shirt or whatever they call that.
Short sheet.
Short sheet, yeah. Anyway, I remember when smoking was still allowed on flights, and I took a Japan Airlines flight to Tokyo. So that's about, 14 hours, and I booked a non-smoking seat. Well, I get on the plane, and I sit down. The guy in front of me lights up. There was no barrier or anything like that. It was just that my row is where people weren't smoking on back, and the row in front of me was where people were smoking. So that was their definition of non-smoking. So for 14 hours, I was inhaling this guy's stuff.
Yeah. Well, you didn't go postal, though. See, that's the thing. That's the difference between you and some of these other people. Have you ever been on a flight where somebody just had to be restrained?
Yes, I have, actually. Virgin flight to London. They have a little bar at the back of upper class, and people who are in the higher level economy class seats can go up and have drinks there. And a guy from that section came up and was sloshed already and kept on drinking and pretty soon was dropping the F-bomb all over the place.
Wow.
They had to basically come and escort him away.
Was it Alec Baldwin?
No, not that flight.
No.
But,
Does it make sense then, because all the air that comes through the plane is filtered?
Right.
Does it make sense that they put some kind of a soothing gas, mix it in with the oxygen, so that everybody is just not tranquilized.
There's a lot of gas on these flights.
What are you? Come on,
lavender.
I think the airlines do that.
Do they
what
really?
Yes. What they do is, if you ever notice on these flights, they're always a little too warm for me. And I think that's one of the things they do is after takeoff, they ratchet up the heat. So people get into that kind of fuzzy, warm, blah feeling, and off they go to sleep land.
Yeah.
And that's not so much to necessarily keep the people from hitting each other as is just the flight attendants don't want to be doing that much work.
Right. Okay. Hey, while we have you, Gary.
Sure.
You're our travel dude. I have 5 myths about flying, and I want you to confirm or deny all of these.
Okay.
Planes do not basically fly themselves these days. The technology is definitely better, but even on routine flights, the pilots constantly have to tell the computers what to do. And 90% of landings and 100% of takeoffs are still done the old-fashioned way. Do you think that's true?
I think it's true, yes.
All right. You are correct. Airplanes, now here's what I was talking about. The air that comes through, planes apparently are not full of germs, as you would think. Some are actually some of it is actually fresh air that comes in from outside the plane. I never considered that as being the case, but the rest of the air is circulated, recirculated, but it's run through hospital-grade filters that capture at least 95% of the microbes that are floating around. So, Gary, why do I always get sick on flights?
Because that's only for first class.
Oh.
You know, they just send all the bad air back to economy where we're sitting.
Yeah.
And I just think it's your close quarters with somebody. It's not the stuff that's floating around in the air. It's
probably from touching things. Yeah, right. All right, flying is not more dangerous than it used to be. It might feel like it is because of high-profile accidents in the news, but the chances of crashing are about 1/6 what they were in 1980, and even then, they were really low, the chances of dying on a plane, that is.
So, that is absolutely correct, although this year we've seen a spike because of some terrorist incidents.
Yeah, right. And the fifth one here, turbulence does not make planes drop hundreds of feet in a few seconds. It might feel like it, but only because it's hard to gauge. In reality, planes hardly ever drop more than 20 feet, even if you're in heavy turbulence. What do you think of that?
I think that's wrong.
Really?
Yeah. I know I've done some pretty good drops over the years in planes. You know, maybe the average, you know, sort of bumpy road type turbulence.
Yeah, but 20 feet. Imagine jumping out of a second story window.
Yeah. No, thank you.
But a 747 dropping 20 feet, that's nothing.
I don't know, man. I still don't want to be on it. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your head's in the ceiling if you're not strapped in at 20 feet.
Yeah.
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 And, so and
that,
then
is
I'm
that
going
true,
postal.
According to your,
then I
want to
see the flight attendant. And I might call him a stewardess and see what happens.
Yeah, see what happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They don't have go-go boots anymore.
No, apparently not.
No,
Gary
no,
Warner, thanks for being our travel dude. And it sounds to me like you pay extra for some of your flights. Where are you going next week?
Oh, I'm just home this week. It's the last week of my son's off duty before he goes back to college. So just hanging around.
Off duty? Is he going to military college?
Well, no. Well, it seems like it to him. No, he just goes to UCI. But
okay.
So it's close by.
But
we're gonna go see some movies and make some trouble.
All right, good. One of my daughters graduated UCI, so very nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Gary Warner, always a pleasure to speak with you. We'll catch up with your travel arrangements next week.
I'll talk with you then.
All right. Very good. There
Take
you go.
Take care, Phil. Bye.
Same to you. All right. You guys feel any safer on a plane now after having that conversation? No.
Uh-uh.
You know what I watched this weekend? Because my dad was in town, which Gary was just talking about, and we sort of hung out and watched movies the whole time. One of the things we watched was Liam Neeson's Unstoppable, which all takes place on a plane.
He's
an air sheriff, and he's got to stop a terrorist that's texting him on the phone.
Yeah.
And it did not make me feel safer on a plane.
Good flick, though?
Right. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did you eat a lot? Because it's an action car.
Yeah, but that's just because my dad's an excellent cook.
Okay. A while back, we were talking about this guy who almost ate it when his significant other tried to kill him with bacon. And we have an update on the lady. And I had no idea that this was her name. And wait until you hear it next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends.
What, you weren't listening? Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. We have our new friend, Erin Myers, here. You're going to hear from her in a second. Chris Martin is here, Jay Campadonia as well. And as we continue with the program, it's something else when you try to off your husband, but it's something altogether again when you try to do it with bacon. Isn't that right, Aaron?
Yeah. No, I'm going to say this guy was actually just an ex-boyfriend, so not even husband. So, yeah. You know, this is even better when you're that angry. But, yeah, most of us like bacon. Well, apparently, Cameo Crispy.
What was her name?
Cameo Crispy. So crispy bacon we got going on here because she tried to burn her boyfriend's house down with it.
Yeah.
This we told you guys about a little while ago, apparently, is what you guys had said.
Yeah, several months ago.
So now she is going to have to stand trial for this. And I guess this is what happened. She went over to her ex-boyfriend's house and intentionally left a pound of bacon on the stove.
Wow.
She put it up on high, you know, left it open. The wood stove, everything caught on fire in there, burning, or, you know, didn't catch fire, but fire was burning underneath. And by the time officers got there, lots of smoke. The bacon was completely burnt to a crisp.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's going to be standing trial for arson and burglary when she goes to court in October. But she did realize her mistake later, apparently, and she actually tried to warn him and, you know, texted and said, "Hey, I'm trying to burn your house down with bacon, so you might want to get out." Yeah. Just a forewarning there on that one.
What a solid gold heart that woman has.
Afterthought.
Yeah. Sure. Thought she might have gone with bacon and brandy instead of just the regular grease, right?
That's fantastic.
Oh, man. All right, but let's say you're having a bacon burger at the barbecue.
You know, women are vicious. A woman went to a barbecue over the past weekend, and guess what state, Phil?
Florida?
Florida. I am 3 for 3 for Florida stories today. I'm actually proud of myself. So a woman goes to this barbecue. She brought her 10-year-old daughter, right? Well, the woman had to go to work, so she left work. She left the kid at the barbecue. Well, the grandmother says, "Hey, wait, it's been a few hours. I'm supposed to babysit the 10-year-old. Where is she?" Nowhere to be found. She calls the mom. Mom doesn't answer the phone. Why? She's at work. So she starts calling the cops, says, "Hey, we're missing a 10-year-old girl. Please help me find her." So cops, they called the mom. Mom says, "Hey, I'm at work. I got to get on stage," and then hung up on him.
Hmm. On stage?
She's an actress then.
Broadway?
The mother is a 29-year-old stripper.
Hmm. Oh.
That's stage two.
Is that a form of acting?
Yeah. It can be, apparently.
The kid was found safe and sound at one of the family members' houses because they're like, "Hey, where's your mom?" "Oh, well, she had to go to work." Oh. Everybody, I guess, understands what she has to do, and when you got to get on stage, you got to get on stage.
No.
Trixie, stage two, Trixie.
Like
stage
on the phone
two.
With the cop. "I got to go. I got to get on the stage." Trixie.
Do we know the name that she uses when she's acting?
No stage names are mentioned in the article. I apologize.
Okay, very good. Yes. From Florida.
Stardust.
Flow.
Destiny?
Is it bad I lived in Florida, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it bad
Florida
I dated
cats.
A girl in
but
the U.S.?
Yeah, Florida got cats, you just keep going down the rungs every single time.
Right.
What I'm that girl.
What is the matter with you? All right. Hey, we have a whole bunch of interesting sports stories to catch up with. And Chris, why don't you run through them for us?
Yeah, I just pulled out a couple of them. Well, first of all, we're only a week away from football, and I know that everybody's chomping at the bit to see
hell
some
yeah.
NFL action.
Isn't there a game on Thursday?
There is. There's a game on Thursday night. I do believe it's actually Peyton Manning versus Andrew Luck. So you're going to see the Broncos and the Colts on NBC. A couple other interesting stories that have come out of the NFL is Michael Sam, who we'll remember as the first openly gay NFL football player. He's
well,
a linebacker.
Wanted to be.
Wanted to be. You're right, Jay, because he has been cut from the St. Louis Rams.
Oh.
Though, we did just get some up-to-date information. Apparently, the Cowboys are interested in him.
Yeah, I'm a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, so my phone gets all the ESPN updates, and they're like, "Oh, they're going to try him out on Wednesday." I'm like, "What?
Wow.
Why?
They love attention over
well,
there in Cowboy
why
Nation.
Did he? Okay, so I imagine he got cut for football reasons, right? It's a skill thing.
That's what the head coach said. He goes, "It's a football decision, you guys." They had a media press conference yesterday when they announced it. "It's a football decision, you guys. You know, when you play football, you make football decisions, and it was a football decision."
Because he's gay.
What the hell is a football decision?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What exactly
does that mean? You no one knows.
You want to hear a football decision? Listen to this. He was actually beaten out. Michael Sam was beaten out by a guy named Ethan Westbrook, and he was working hard, ended up beating out Michael Sam. He made a football decision. He put a tattoo on his face while he was in college to ensure that he could be occupied in no other career besides football. That was his reasoning behind it.
Or occupied in prison.
Right.
Either way, good motivator
only
there.
Only had two options. Yeah. Couple other quick things. J.J. Watt, who plays with Houston, he's a defensive end for Houston. He signed a 6-year, $100 million contract. Good for him.
He's pretty good then.
Yeah. And in college football, USC dominated coming back for their opening game after a couple of disappointing seasons. Although UCLA is ranked higher and Florida State is still ranked number one, but they stumbled a little bit this weekend even though they won.
Dominated?
So, dominated. I think the score was 53-17 in the USC game.
Any more come ridiculous. Out of that guy who lied? Is he in jail yet?
No, but he is possibly facing suspension and will not be playing for the rest of the season.
No, we know that, but I mean, like...
So don't fake a hero there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, I broke my ankles. I jumped off a balcony to save my nephew from drowning. What? I didn't know if, like, I know there was an investigation. I know the guy lawyered up. But I didn't know if there was any more that, like, maybe came out of that. Like, do we know what he was actually doing?
No, which is what you have to wonder. What's the cover-up for? What's he hiding? There is some other interesting stuff. This one ought to excite you, Jay. David Carr is actually getting the nod over Matt Schaub over in Oakland.
In the Raiders. I saw that. I love that decision.
Right.
Give the young kid a chance.
You know, he threw 14 for 17 for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns or something. Just lit the field on fire.
Really?
Put up like 40-something points, yeah.
See, I like this guy.
So he deserves it.
I like the fact that the Raiders are putting the young kid out there. It's like, okay, new regime, new team. Let's, you know, try to. The one thing I wish they could do is wipe out all of their fans. Oh, that's the one thing.
Wipe them out.
Yes.
Jay.
Like a fire hose. Like Birmingham, Alabama. Fire hose right in the middle of the stand. Whoosh. Get rid of them all.
Well, there's some imagery that we probably didn't need, but just the same. Okay, fine. By the way, let me clean up the show just a little bit. You remember the game Pac-Man? Ever play it?
Sure.
All the time.
For sure. Yeah.
Pac-Man made $3.5 billion in revenue as an arcade game.
Does that include Mrs. Pac-Man?
No, just Pac-Man.
Wow.
And so that's $7.6 billion if you adjust for inflation. And that makes it the highest grossing arcade game ever, just ahead of
Mario.
Space Invaders.
Wow.
Remember that?
Kind of.
That's
maybe.
The one where at the bottom and you shoot all the things and you got to go left to right, left to
and
right,
it went
left to right.
Lump, lump, lump,
I thought
lump,
that was called Galactica.
That was something else. That was Galaga.
Oh, Galaga, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we love your comments. Feedback at Phil Hewlett and Friends is our email. Twitter, we're at FAF Show, PHAF Show. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, production assistant, Nick Wright, assistant in training, Nikki Lucius. For Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.